Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, fourth and final hour. Good to have you in here live on a Wednesday. Nick Kale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, Marquise Hollywood Munson with you. Darren Donick and Chase come your way at 10 o'clock. We've got the big finish coming up at 9:45 this morning, but we've been teasing and promoting all morning long that we have a big Predators announcement to make today at 9 o'clock, and now is the time to do so. And we are bringing back the return of Smashville Live, which will be bigger and better this season, on location for 23 weekly episodes beginning this Wednesday, October the 2nd. Season premiere will feature David and Brian Poyle. You guys will be live at the Brew House South in Cool Springs, and Smashville Live, which was probably done 8 to 10 times last year, will now have 23 episodes this year, and it's all brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. And one of the stars of the show is the man to my left, Braden Gall.
Yeah, really excited about this. We did probably 8 to 10 of these 2 years ago in its debut, Smashville Live, all at one location. We thought, you know what, how can we make that better? So we're going to move it all over the city so we can get to as many neighborhoods and as many communities and bring Smashville Live to you guys. So we made that adjustment last year, and now we are basically tripling the number of events that's going to take place this year. So you guys out there make it happen as Predators fans. You show up in all different locations all over the city. You guys, you love talking with the players. It is one of the coolest hours of radio I get to do outside of hanging out with you two knuckleheads every single day. It's an absolute blast. It's a credit to the fans that we can now do this 23 different times all over the city in different neighborhoods, whether it's Cool Springs, whether it's East Nashville, and everywhere in between. It is a credit to you guys and the fans and all the local businesses who have partnered with this. You mentioned the sponsors there. It's just it's a really cool event. It's a really, you know, and we've got a lot of things planned. We got a lot of things planned for you. So you mentioned our debut, of course, will take place down at Brew House South in Cool Springs with David and Brian Poyle. We're going to talk all kinds of Pred stuff on October 2nd. That's the first episode. We've got players lined up for a bunch of episodes. We got a lot of stuff up our sleeve for some of the other episodes as well. So keep your eyes peeled. TheGameNashville.com is the website, of course. You can check out all the dates and locations. The locations, most of the locations, almost all of them, have been settled. So if you want to check the dates, cross-check that with locations. And when you may be able to get out, when it's convenient for you and your neighborhood, please go check that out on the website, thegamenashville.com. It is an absolute blast. I have a great time doing it. Hal Gill is a consummate professional. The players are great. And again, it's a credit to both the Preds organization and the fans that we can now triple this in size and go from 8 to 9 to 10 of these to 23 of them all over the city. Basically the entire hockey season, We're going to be live somewhere in town talking hockey on Wednesday night. So, again, GameNashville.com is the website. Check it out to make sure you know where the dates and locations are. And we got some special cool stuff planned up our sleeve, so stay tuned.
And that ranges from October 2nd all the way through March 25th. Some of the locations, Brew House South in Cool Springs, Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House East Nashville. You've got Drake's in Cool Springs, Puckett's Boathouse in Franklin. How about this? January 1st?
The Cotton Bowl.
The Cotton Bowl.
Hello. I'm still working on seeing if I can get the company to fly me out for that one. still working on that. We got Bridgestone Arenas on here. We got some stuff up our sleeves for this. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're very excited about it. And please, again, check the schedule and come out and support your Preds and talk a little hockey with us, man. Gonna have a good time.
Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. So let's actually get to the Predators a little bit here in this segment. Peter Laviolette yesterday was on with Darren, Donick, and Chase as they were out at Centennial Sportsplex yesterday. And one of the things that we talked about early in the show was, you know, kind of the different feel, the freshness, the buzz. You know, they brought in Matt Duchene. You get a full year of Mikkel Granlund. Kind of hitting that reset button. They've traded P.K. Subban and just kind of getting back to the basics. But one of the things that has stood out has been kind of the buzz at the arena for the first couple of preseason games. And I kind of mentioned it, you know, two weeks ago when we had the doubleheader home opener day and night. But also this past Saturday against Tampa Bay was a really good crowd. I'm just going to guess there was probably 14, 15,000 people there, which is really impressive. Peter LaViolette yesterday on with Darren, Donick, and Chase talking about how lucky he is.
I feel like I'm the luckiest coach in the league for being in Nashville, Tennessee with our ownership, with our management, with the players that are in the room right now, with the coaches that I get to work with every day, and the fan base for me. And to watch the fan base grow and explode to where it is right now. I tell people all the time, and then I have friends that come in. I just had friends for this last exhibition game come in. My son plays down at Florida Gulf Coast University, and the moms came up. They call themselves moms of champions because they back-to-back national titles. Nice. Down at FGCU. So six of them were in town, and my wife went with them, and I had some friends from my high school hockey team in town, and their kids, and they were obviously older now, not in high school, so they've got kids that are now turning 21 and 23, so they came to Nashville. They could not believe the building, the rink, the atmosphere, and it was a preseason game.
And that's what I alluded to early on in the 6 o'clock hour, because Saturday night, you know, the game wasn't televised yet. I believe Willie and C-Mace will have their first televised broadcast this week. But I had the Georgia-Notre Dame game on the big TV, another college game on the second TV, and I was streaming the game on the laptop for the Preds.
That's a lot of screens.
And, well, that was the only way to actually visually see it. And I had it on my laptop, and I'm looking, I almost wanted to, like, if I could have paused the live feed, I wanted to pause it and look in. I'm looking at the crowd, I'm like, there's not a ton of empty seats. I mean, I know it's a Saturday night, but it's a preseason game.
No, and I think, listen, this franchise has gone through an interesting evolution over the last couple of years, and the fan base along with it, right? Like, the skyrocket, you know, meteoric rise to Stanley Cup final just sort of captured everybody's hearts and minds. And then you go on a President's Trophy run where you're the best team in the league. Certainly disappointing, but nothing to laugh at. A 7-game series against the second best team in the NHL in Winnipeg, and you lose in 7 games in the second round. No small accomplishment there. Certainly last year disappointing. Not as many points and a finish in the first round of the playoffs. That's unacceptable. So there is a level of expectation and pressure from the fans this year that I don't think has been around in the last couple of years. But I think that's okay. I think that's good. These fans, they are now demanding excellence. They're now demanding a deeper playoff run. They're now demanding more points, better power play, you know, offense, whatever. You know, that it's the first time the fans have always been great, but this is the first time there's sort of been an entitlement in a good way. You know, the way Bama fans are entitled, or the way, you know, certain fan base, the Patriots, right? People in Boston are entitled to, they think they deserve great sports. I think Predators fans have risen to that point where they now expect and demand excellence. And I think that's what you strive for as an organization. That's the point of competing. You ask Pecorine that question, he goes, hell yeah, that's what I want. I want there to be expectations. I want the fans to demand excellence from me every single night. So I think there's a different edge to the fan base this year. It's excited. It's ready to go. But it's going, you know what? We need to see some accomplishment this year. And I think everybody's ready for that. I think the team is ready for that.
Well, they should be, you know, because I think the fan base, and listen, I get it and I understand. It was a little bit premature after the Stanley Cup run. I think they just expected to come back the next season and it would just be a cakewalk and they would find themselves because this is a much better team and, you know, everything's going our way and we just expect, you know, let's just get through the season because once we get in the playoffs, we're back to the Stanley Cup. And when it didn't happen, I think it brought them back down. Like, okay, it's not as easy as what we may think it is. But through all of that, this team remained a good regular season team amidst the injuries and everything else. but they started to regress in the playoffs. They went from the Stanley Cup to getting put out in the second round to getting put out in the first round. And now fans are looking at it like, listen, this team has gotten, we think they've gotten better offensively. There's no reason why we shouldn't advance past the first round. We are a playoff team. Now it's not about just getting into the playoffs. It's about winning games and series in the playoffs, putting our team back into that position where we are in the Western Conference Finals and then ultimately in the Stanley Cup Finals. And fans, rightfully so. This is one of those things where, hey, listen, it's either put up or shut up because, you know, we can't continue to, you know, we're going to support you, but, you know, y'all selling us on this kind of roller coaster thing where this team's good and this team should be advancing further. They shouldn't be regressing in the playoffs. They should be advancing in the playoffs.
Yeah, and without PK Subban, there's less of a spotlight nationally on this team. And the whole thing, the fans, the coaching staff, the players, everything, it's still like no games have happened. I get that. But just from a vibe standpoint, whether you talk to fans or you're around the team or you're on the coaches, it feels far more business-like. Does that make sense? Like, it feels more just nuts and bolts, blocking and tackling, for lack of a better phrase. We are returning to basics because this is a business, and we are going to approach this season like a business, which means we are going – it just feels – cutthroat's not the right word. It just feels more – I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. It's just a vibe I get from the fans and the team itself is that this is a – we're all business this year, and it's different.
Stop talking about it. Just be about it. Go out there and get the job done. We don't want to hear about how good you are. Show us how good you are in the playoffs.
Well, and I think losing to the Stars, in the first, that's a humbling experience.
Oh, yeah.
And that leads you to a more business-like approach.
Smashville, join the game Nashville at the second annual Preds Fest on Sunday, September the 29th from 2 to 6 p.m. Preds player appearances, live entertainment, a used equipment sale, and fun for the whole family. Stop by the tent to win some awesome prizes and 102.5 The Game gear. In 20 minutes, why Vegas is down on the football team. But up next, more from the head coach, Peter Laviolette. Stay there. It's Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
All of our players have gone through that, from Colton Sissons to Victor Arvidsson to Philip Forsberg, Kalle Yonkrok, Roman Josi, Pekka Rinne. It's a development league, and we need them on the ice and developing. And when they are ready, when they do start to make that move up, and they might go back to Milwaukee and then maybe up again, there's no set path on how it works. You know that they've been developed the right way. And so we're thrilled with the way the guys played. And you know, sometimes even they look at going to Milwaukee as a demotion. We look at it as part of the process.
Predators head coach Peter Laviolette yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase live out at Centennial Sportsplex talking about the young guys going down to Milwaukee to start the year. Part of the process of coming up through the pipeline, obviously referring to Rem Pitlick, Eli Tolvanen, and a handful of others that have impressed. And it's
Jeremy Davies.
And we might see, look, they might come up 6 weeks into the season for three or four games. They might go back down. There's no like, all right, they're going to be down there for this period. Then they're coming up, and then they're staying here permanently. And that's probably a positive because you got so much depth.
Yeah, injuries are going to play a role in that, obviously.
Production.
I'll say this. I think Rem Pitlick is closer to playing on the big team than Eli Tolvanen is. I don't know if that's a hot take or not. I think it's probably a widely regarded, accepted take. But I think Rem Pitlick could work his way into the starting lineup well before Eli Tolvanen could.
So what do you make of, in a scenario where now we've already seen Dante Fabbro kind of leap ahead of Eli Tolvanen as far as young guy through the system, now he's, I mean, let's face it, he's replacing PK Subban.
Yeah, but he was a big-time prospect. I mean, he was their top prospect in the system before Eli Tolvanen got there. He was one of their top prospects,
right,
if not the top prospect. So it's, you know, he's
But what if Fabbro and Pitlick get up here quicker than Tolvanen? Is it an indictment on Tolvanen?
No, he's still extremely young. He still has to learn to play a complete game on both ends of the ice. They want to see him score a little bit more because, again, here's what the upside for Eli Tolvanen is: top six forward. And right now, there's two big problems with that. One, he's not quite ready. Playing that position is harder than the position Rem Pitlick might play, which might be as a third line winger. Here's the thing, though, about all of this that could change is if David Poile gets an offer, and let's say Kyle Turris starts out really hot, and David Poile gets a good offer for Kyle Turris, wouldn't be surprised if he made a move. Both Mikael Granlund and Craig Smith are in the last years of their contract. Wouldn't be surprised if those guys get moved. I'm not suggesting it will, but if Elli Tolvanen is so good that he needs playing time, you almost have to make a trade to get him into the top six. Because right now, there's one of those three guys I just mentioned is not going to play in the top six. You don't have enough space, because Craig Smith right now is going to probably be on the third line. Or you know what I mean? Like, there's just not enough room right now for Tolvanen to come up. If he's good enough and ready, which he's not, he will be, you can't play him. Like, there's not enough space right now. You're going to have to make a move.
But you mentioned Granlund. Let's play this hypothetical trade game, you know, moving out a piece to get a young player in. Then we are going to be looking at, what, 6-7 months removed from all the guys that David Poile acquired last year at the trade deadline are no longer on this team, whether it's Boyle, Simmons, Granlund, and if I'm missing anybody else that they brought in for the cup run, then all those guys are gone. Is that almost counterintuitive to bring a guy like Granlund and then move him less than a year later?
No, because I think what again, this is just from the outside looking in. I would guess the strategy with Granlund was to bring in a 60-point type of guy, a top six forward who's extremely skilled, great with the puck, good hands, plays in space. He is far better than what he was in, you know, 18 or 19 games last year for the Preds. So we know he's a better player than that. So to me, the beauty of getting Granlund is that you brought him in and you've got a year and some change to evaluate if you want to keep him. Because you can re-sign him. He's still a young player. I don't have his age in front of me. Maybe you can check the age on there. I want to say he's like 26, 27 years old. I don't think he's a very old player. So you can bring him. You could re-sign him. If he's good enough and has another good year like he's had in Minnesota in the past, you could re-sign him as a top six forward alongside Duchesne and maybe it's Tolvanen, and maybe it's Craig Smith, maybe it's Turris. Who knows what 20, that looks like.
27.
27. So he is still very much within the framework of another four-year deal, right? You could give him a four-year deal worth $5 million a year, $6 million a year, whatever the number is, especially if you're moving either Craig Smith or Kyle Turris and you're only paying Tolvanen a rookie salary. All of a sudden, you can pay Granlund. So I think it gives them some flexibility. Do they want to re-sign Craig Smith? He's a guy who's played, I think, fifth most Preds games of all time. You kind of know exactly what you're going to get out of him. He's going to score basically 23 goals a year. Absolute sniper. Gives you some speed on the edge. He's not a small guy either. You kind of know what he is. You need to learn a little bit more about what Granlund is. And I think the fans don't really know how good he is yet because the 19-game sample size didn't really give Preds fans a good taste of what he actually can do. Turris is a total anomaly in all of this, right? Like, he's a 60-point-per-game player for almost a decade in the NHL, and has just forgotten how to play. So they need him to perform up to speed, and if he does, they maybe trade him, or maybe they feel comfortable enough leaving him in the lineup as a top six forward, so which is why they signed him to a long-term deal. So it's actually a good problem to have, I think, to be able to say, Tolvanen, let's wait until you're really ready.
But you bringing up Kyle Turris, and let's say Kyle Turris figures it out and the light goes back on and he returns to being the player that we all think he's certainly capable of being at some point again, that is an interesting dilemma because it's like, on one hand, yeah, his value will never be higher. He's on a roll. He's had a great 2 months of the season or whatever it is. So what you could get in return and certainly at a much lesser cost and replenish and restock and everything else. But then there's also the other side of it is, well, wait a minute. He's playing really well. Now look how deep we are, not only lines one and two, but all the way down to line three and further. How do you juggle that balance of moving him at his peak as opposed to, hey, this is right. What we're paying him to begin with.
Right. This is why we gave you $6 million a year. A couple of thoughts on that. The idea of all of it working and having your third line be like Rem Pitlick, Colton Sissons, and Craig Smith, like that's some offensive skill for a third line, which is not normally what your third line is paid to do. But in the NHL, you have to get scoring now from your third and fourth lines. That's just the way the game is trending. The Turris thing is interesting, though. To me, the way I would look at it in a very shrewd sort of salary capologist, general manager sort of way, I just don't know if you look at the length of the contract and you look at four more years after this one of $6 million per year, even if he lives up to $6 million per year, Kyle Turris, this year and next year, let's say, what are the odds he does it for a five full seasons?
Probably not.
So to me, if you're playing the odds on this, if you can get $6 million production for half a season, you move him. Because then you get yourself out from underneath the rest of the contract. So, and again, I know that's shrewd. I know that's maybe risky. That's, you know, especially if he's playing well, you're breaking up a line maybe that's playing well. There's lots of risk involved in that. my concern with Kyle Turris is I am looking at him as a skill player, and I'm seeing less versatility. You're not going to put him in front of the net. He's not going to dig out pucks in the corners. He's just not a big physical guy. And, you know, you got a lot of Kyle Turris's right now on this roster. You got a lot of really skilled offensive handsy guys. You need some other types of people. And you need some more Austin Watson type guys. And, if he's playing at $6 million per year, I still think you take the best offer, because I just don't see how the remainder of that contract is ever going to be of value for the team, if that makes sense.
Predators against the Carolina Hurricanes tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop here at Bridgestone Arena. Of course, the play-by-play right here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. We'll come back. Vegas is out on the Titans. We'll explain next on Morning Drive. It is Morning Drive.
Didn't know the mic was on there.
Roxanne is here, although Marquise doesn't know who this is.
So do we need to discuss this for a second, though?
I think we should.
So I was in here just ran. I don't know what. I have no idea why I started singing this during the break like 2 hours ago, but I just started singing this song in the middle of the break. And Marquise walks in here, and he stares at me like I got six heads. And he's like, dude, what are you singing? What is that? I go, you've never heard of The Police? Like, Roxanne, like, you've never heard of, you know, Sting? Worldwide superstar Sting? He's like, nah, man. And so, Nick, you started playing the song, and he, like, within 5 seconds, he goes, oh, yeah, Cameron did a remix of that.
Cameron, who had, like, one hit in 2003.
And we all look at him, and we just go, this is what's wrong with America.
Well, D-Mace put him on blast. I mean, let's just call it what it is.
You did, man. Good
he just you. Crushed Marquise. He's like, man, you... And I can't say it on the radio, but yeah, you just gave it to him. And I applaud that, D-Mace.
Yeah, I mean,
don't pull any punches.
Sometimes it's like they don't remember things unless it's a remix or,
I know. Why?
Or a remake. Oh, I remember that. Didn't they?
Well, whose fault is that? That's not my fault. This song was made in the 80s. My mom wasn't playing that.
It was in the 70s, actually.
Yeah.
78.
Yeah, 70s. But see,
this is... but it's not like you don't know anything that happened pre you.
Okay,
so
my mom didn't listen to Police. Okay, big whoop. I was told different things about Police growing up.
Where
I'm talking about your mom,
millennials don't understand the 80s, whereas guys like me and Braden, who are technically millennial but are more Generation X.
I was born,
we know our history.
Yeah, I was born a millennial, but I've been transitioning to a different generation. I'm still working. I'm still going through that transition process, and I appreciate all your support on this. It is alarming to me how little young people know about history.
They don't appreciate it.
And frankly, it's not just a young people problem. It's sort of like all of us that just don't pay attention to history
anymore.
It's
just a people problem.
Like, we need to learn and read books about history more. Pay teachers more, by the way, too. But, like, as someone who loves history, who grew up like a nerd, like, I'm cut more from the Andrew Luck cloth, where I just want to, like, I just love history. Like, I'll watch Ken Burns' documentary on the Civil War. I watched a documentary on the invention of the national parks. Like, that's how much of a nerd I am. I get it. Not everybody's going to be like that. But to not know that song that's been played 100 million times in every forum, like, that's not your mom. We're not blaming your mom for this, man. It's not your mom's taste. I'm blaming you for not having just, I don't know. Like, have you not absorbed through osmosis that song at some point during your life? Like,
I mean,
as an
I've heard the song.
You are almost in your 30s.
It's one of those songs that, like, you know the song, but you don't know who it's about. Like, who it's for, or pretty much who it's by. Like, it's just... I don't know anything of what this song is.
Eddie Murphy was singing it continually in 48 Hours the Movie. But
see,
that came out in 1982, that's just way over your head. See, I can't even use the reference because you don't even get the reference.
I get it loud and clear, man. I listen to a lot of old music, and you guys know that I play old music
here.
I know. There's a balance. Okay. There's things I'm going to miss.
I know. I'm not angry, Marquise. I'm just disappointed.
I'm sorry.
Marquise, just take it, man. And
yeah.
Just say, okay. You're right.
I thought you were about to call me what you called me during the break.
Yeah, I can't call you that.
It's like when Nick says, two PAC, you just got to own that you screwed it up.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got you.
Yeah.
Like when I said it was National Olive Day on the air.
Because
I read Olive instead of Olive.
Yeah, just own it.
When you said police, I just thought, what unit do they work in? I didn't
know.
Like, I didn't know. Like, you know, is it SVU? Like,
well,
now
you know.
Stuff?
And like G.I. Joe used to say, knowing is half the battle.
Yeah,
G.I. Joe,
see, I knew that
American
reference.
Hero.
You don't have to G.I.
Joe is there. G.I. Joe. Did you watch G.I. Joe?
Do we do too much singing on the show?
Marquise, did you watch G.I. Joe?
I did. I had G.I. Joe's.
Did you have G.I. Joe's
and He-Man?
With a Kung Fu grip.
Dude, He-Man was killer. I had He-Man's growing up. Heck yeah. What about Thundercats? You like some
Thundercats? Nah, I wasn't a big fan.
You a Thundercats guy?
No, I was a He-Man guy.
No Thundercats?
I love Thundercats.
My whole bed set was He-Man.
Thunder.
I watched Thundercats. I watched that.
Dude, don't mess with Snarf,
all right? Castle Grayskull?
Yeah, don't mess with Snarf, okay?
Snarf?
Thunder. Thundercats. Oh.
Me and Derek are the only two that know this.
I used to alternate between He-Man and Batman. I would have He-Man bed sheets, and then when I'd wet the bed, my mom would take them off and put the Batman ones on. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is when I was 12.
He-Man, Batman, when you were 12, wet in the bed. Yeah, you need some talking to Kale.
Exactly. It took me 13 years to get body trained, so.
He's here to protect your Gotham.
Ma, I had an accident. Damn it, Nick.
Do you remember, Snarf? You remember Snarf, right?
Yeah, I remember
Dude,
Snarf.
Dude, Snarf was the jam.
Snarf.
Who used to watch the Littles? We are the Littles.
I don't know what you're
Little
talking
baby,
about.
Don't you
Dude,
know?
Nobody remembers these things from the
70s. I remember Littles. Little Bill.
Is that a 70s thing or is that an 80s thing?
No, that was a late 80s, mid to late 80s, the Littles. Yeah, it was just little fairies, that's all.
Thunder.
It's little fairies. It was cool, man. It's a cool cartoon. I don't believe y'all don't know what the
Dude, you're I had no idea.
You're a real American hero.
Yes, I am. Gosh, y'all don't remember that.
Did you used to watch that when Mr. Bruno babysat you?
No, Mr. Bruno wasn't babysitting nobody.
He said, get off my lawn. Yeah. He was the original get off my lawn guy.
He was.
Mr. Bruno. He was get off my lawn before Thunder get off my lawn was cool.
I'm trying to figure out what else
Let me ask you guys about a toy.
He-Man, G.I. Joe.
How about Mr. Gadget?
Yeah, I love Mr. Gadget.
Love Go-Go Gadget Army.
Oh, it was Inspector Gadget.
Inspector Gadget. Dang, I just disrespected
Go-Go Gadget jet skis.
I just totally disrespected Inspector Gadget.
Come on, man.
My bad.
But you know who played the voice of Inspector Gadget, right? Was the guy that played in Get Smart.
Maxwell?
Maxwell Smart. Yeah, that guy. I don't know his real name. Don Adams or Don Knotts or something like that.
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle, Don Knotts. Yeah.
Do you guys remember a toy?
Don Johnson.
This would have been
Notch
like
Johnson.
Are y'all done? This would have been late 90s or late 80s, early 90s toys. And it was a thing called Mask.
Yeah.
Do you remember Mask?
Yes.
It's like the most obscure toy of all time. And I had all of I loved Mask. Like you'd put these little masks on these little figures. It was like G.I. Joe mixed
with...
Yeah,
but you can take them off, put other ones on.
Yeah, it was like G.I. Joe mixed with Transformers, sort of. Like, kind of coming together. And they were... I had all of the Mask toys. I loved the Mask. Well, none of the big ones. I could never afford the big ones. But I got all the little ones.
What was the other ones? Transformers and...
GoBots.
The GoBots. I hated the GoBots.
Yeah, the GoBots were like a knockoff.
Yeah, I love Transformers, but the GoBots was just like...
I cannot believe you remember Mask. I
had those things.
But, I mean, like, just thinking about this now, all the toys and all the things that we did when we were kids in the 70s, 80s, mm-hmm. early 90s, you remember, like, back in the day when you would watch television, all of these things were in commercials. Like, everything, every toy was an advertisement. Yeah. You don't see kids' toys advertisements anymore.
Do you remember the Micro Machines ad? The guy that would just, you know, blah, 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 as fast as you could possibly go.
I think that's your motivation, right?
Exactly. I mean, he was my inspiration.
You learned from him.
Yeah, like, I watched that commercial and I thought, I want to be like him. I want to grow up. My mom said, shut the
but
TV like,
but
off.
Maybe they do, just don't watch
it. When's the last time you were watching TV and you saw like a Tonka truck commercial or a Barbie commercial or anything?
I've seen Barbie commercials.
I see a lot of commercials.
Really?
But you got to be watching kid channels.
You
got to
be watching Sesame Street.
Yeah.
If you're watching
you
Sesame Street
Nickelodeon or something like that.
Well, but see,
like
we watch everything on demand nowadays.
Mickey's Clubhouse.
Where you don't see these commercials.
Yeah, and like I watch, so like the one show I watch on TV with my daughter is SpongeBob. I watch SpongeBob with her. She loves SpongeBob. And, you know, we put on movies mostly.
Yeah.
But I watch it off of Amazon. Like I'm not watching it on.
No commercials.
No commercials, yeah. So now if you watch some of the stuff that still has commercials in it, like if you record a Disney movie off the Disney Channel, like if you don't have access to Moana, like there's going to be a meltdown in my house. So we've got it recorded on Xfinity, of course. Mm-hmm. But it has commercials in it because that's the only way we have it because it's been taken off of Netflix. Mm-hmm. So we watch Moana as recorded. But the commercials during the recording, I guess we recorded it in like October of last year or something. So all the ads are for like last year's Halloween costumes
year
and like toys
and
stuff.
Costumes.
But it's not the same because we don't play with toys the way we use. Like 7 and 8 and 10-year-old kids don't play with toys the way we used to play with toys.
Toys are cheap nowadays. They break too
fast. Yeah, and you're on your phone.
My girls,
or you're outside.
My girls are 5 years old. They went through a Barbie phase for 6 months. They're already on the iPhones.
Yeah, it's iPads and iPhones.
My wife bought my daughter's iPhones already.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Hey, they have their own numbers?
I don't think I think all they can do is FaceTime their grandparents.
On Wi-Fi or whatever?
Yeah.
And that's what we did to my daughter. I think
that
it
seems
was around.
Early.
Telling me.
I'm not going to comment on your wife.
No, go right ahead. Day she bought those, I went for a liquor
somewhere
run.
Somewhere around there where she could only... she can only talk to her grandparents. It might have been second grade, somewhere around there. But she can only talk to her grandparents and us. Like, she couldn't make, there was no other calls you could make, but only talk to her grandparents and talk to us. That was it. So, and she couldn't take the phone, but it was just her phone. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just hers, and she didn't play games on it. It was just the talk. It was, that's just the way it is.
D, I'm not kidding on this. I just looked up some of these mask toys just to see if you can go get them. The old Hurricane was like an old 57 Chevy with the flames on it. It had that teal paint job. There's a white minivan. There was like a black Bronco. You know how much they run now?
Probably a lot of money.
They're like $150. They're like collector's items now.
Yeah.
Dad, you listening? You got all my masks still?
Who used to watch
Scooby-Doo? I'm coming to get them right now.
Who used to watch Scooby-Doo?
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right, of course.
Day. Come on now.
All day.
I used to own the movies and everything.
Yeah. I mean, old school Scooby-Doo.
Ruh-roh.
Our buddy Johnny says, "Oh my God, Braden! I still have all my Mask and Venom toys in my parents' attic."
Well, dude, they are. Them, I'm looking at this. This one is $228. It's
vintage,
a little car
if,
with
if
a
you
guy.
Got them, if you got them and they're in good condition, you can sell those suckers.
Oh my God, the tractor! I had the big rig one. They're like $65.
Did you have any of the Ghostbuster stuff as a kid?
Oh yeah, of course.
No, I didn't.
I used to have like the backpack and the little trapper that you would throw out to catch Slimer.
My mom made like
did you
made
ever catch
me.
Him?
No,
you never caught a ghost.
He was slippery.
Did you ever watch the Smurfs?
Yeah,
I love the Smurfs.
There you go.
I was trying to figure out why. Well, you know the whole story
about,
of Smurfette.
Talk about some misogyny.
You know the whole story of Smurfette, don't you?
No, I don't.
Just like one chick
Smurfette
in the whole show
was originally put in as a mole. You know,
she was a spy.
Yeah, she was. What was his name? The evil guy.
Don't know.
I forget the evil guy's name, but he invented her.
Smurf bad guy.
Yeah, he invented her.
Searching
to lure
Gargamel.
Yeah, Gargamel. Gargamel.
There we go.
Yeah, Gargamel invented or made Smurfette to catch the Smurfs. And
well, right. If you're gonna trap a
and
Smurf,
she got to their
Smurf.
Miss, but then all of the love from the other Smurfs caused her to become a Smurf.
She had a kind of a pick of the litter there. I think Smurfette did.
So
I wonder why there was never
pick whichever one.
So her name was Gargamel.
Gargamel
no, was
the
bad
guy that was trying to get the Smurfs.
Her
name
was Smurfette. Didn't he have like a little fox sidekick?
It was a cat or a dog, something. I don't know.
Like a ferret, probably.
Yeah. But I was trying to figure out, like, okay, through the midst of all of that, didn't someone realize there was only one girl or woman amongst 100 Smurfs? Mm-hmm. They didn't decide to make more somehow? Like, interject more women into the Smurf culture?
No, Smurf culture is one of the most misogynistic cultures in the history of cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much so.
Folks, we're kidding.
Yes.
Chill out. Don't tweet us, please.
Stillman just sent me a tweet. He says, "I can just feel Nick Cale's disgust with the fact that his kids have iPhones."
I told Haley and I've talked about this. Like, we're trying to get to 13.
No, y'all not getting to 13. Y'all are not getting
nowhere. We didn't get till 6.
Y'all not getting nowhere.
We are not giving them phones at 6 years old. I can guarantee
y'all
that.
Y'all not getting nowhere near 13.
All right, Big Finish coming up next. Don't touch that dial.
And a big show. And now it's time for a big finish on Morning Drive.
That is correct. It is time for the big finish. We do it each and every day at 9:45 here on Morning Drive. And Braden Gall, the big finish is brought to you by
Nashville Soccer Club for inaugural season tickets to the MLS season next year. Go to NashvilleSC.com. Get you some tickets. NashvilleSC.com for MLS tickets next year. Are you in the playoffs, baby? You all right?
Yeah. Emotional. Hollywood, let's get to the rewind. Welcome into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5, the game off and running live here on a Wednesday edition. Boys, happy hump day.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah, guess so. We made it. Humpity so, hump, hump. Guess,
there you go. Humpity hump, hump.
Doing the hump. Oh, it's doing the bump.
The Humpty Dance.
Yeah, the Humpty
Dance. I still think the Humpty Dance is your chance to do the hump. That's pretty good.
On a Wednesday.
Do the Humpty Hump. On a Wednesday, do the Humpty Hump.
On a Wednesday.
Do the Humpty Hump. On a Wednesday, do the Humpty Hump.
Y'all going to keep doing that for 4 hours? Or? Yeah,
two white guys will just sit here quietly?
Listen, we know our lane, okay?
A humper hump?
We know our lane.
A humpty hump?
A humpty? A humpty?
So when Derek...
Humpty?
Exactly, Marquise. When Derek and Marquise start doing that, that's like the HOV lane during rush hour.
Yeah.
Nick and I are not allowed in that lane. We'll get a ticket if we
scoot
get
it. Scoot over, buddy. Scoot over.
Stay in your lane. And this is the conversation we had with the Titans last spring when I said about pursuing Antonio Brown. And you were like, you know, well, if your locker room culture is so strong, one guy shouldn't really be able to throw that off. But isn't this just a challenge now in sports in general? And not so much about PK Subban and the Preds, but just in general, the balance of a locker room and the end result for a team versus players and their individual brand. Because we live in a day and age with social media where the player, and I'm all for the player promoting himself, but the balance of your brand personally versus the team's end goal.
Just going to practice and watching this team, like, there's organized chaos. Everyone seems a little bit, again, maybe I'm completely fabricating this in my head, but everyone seems a little more zeroed in on, like, basics, the fundamentals. Like, everything, there is no, like, when one guy is so spectacularly, and I'm saying this for a positive, PK Subban is a great player and a great marketer and a great brand. And, you know, it also means it comes along with a lot of extra stuff, whether it's media requests or interviews or time spent answering questions or whatever. There's just a, you know, that's just sort of all been pushed aside now. It's all just out, you know, there's no concern about it at all. There's no worry about it. Again, it's a double-edged sword. You brought a lot of attention to your organization in a very positive way. It also means the guys are not being asked questions about anything now. It's just, hey, let's go play hockey.
They want to fix the narrative. They want to change the narrative. Like, okay. Yeah. And it's happened to certain teams. Yeah. You know, you've seen the Washington Capitals do it. You know, they went from good to great. They were picked to win the Stanley Cup like 2 years in a row and didn't win it.
And then a year they
were not picked to win it. They ended up winning it.
Well, hold on.
You picked him.
Somebody did pick him on this show.
I did pick him to win it. Yeah, I did. I didn't want to toot my own horn here.
Toot away, buddy. You have no problem tooting away any other second during the show. Keep going.
I'm the Bill Belichick of hockey predictions. Right now, we're joined by Will Healy.
Remember, 6 weeks ago, we would have all jumped off a cliff for a win. So we haven't changed that much. If y'all don't go in the locker room and act like we just won the Super Bowl, then you're all fired. So we went in, and I just took my shirt off and ran around and acted like a complete moron. But, like, they have to enjoy winning. If they don't enjoy winning, why would they want to work so hard during the week to make it happen again? So I think all of that helps create a buzz. I mean, the recruits that are in the locker room, you know, I mean, you walk into Club Lit. I don't know if you're seeing that anywhere else. We're seeing some people copying our stuff, right, which is flattering. But, no, it's been a lot of fun.
Note to self, I like Will Healy more than Jeremy Pruitt. Yeah, this is a wrestling theme.
Is this in regular rotation for you, Marquise? This type of music right here?
I play music for all of you guys equally, man. So.
You do.
Okay, if you listen to this, it sounds kind of like you're an angsty teenage girl a little bit.
A little bit.
Just letting you know, Marquise.
There's not many sports radio shows where you're going to get Edge, Whitney Houston, and who's your boy?
Sturgill. You talking about The Edge? From U2?
No.
Or is it even that last band,
Edge? Not that Edge.
Just a wrestler named Edge.
Edge of the City.
Vanderbilt head coach Derek Mason.
I think we learned some things about ourselves. You know, obviously, man, we played some good competition, you know, in the first quarter of the season. But, you know, this Northern Illinois team is one that has to be respected. I mean, their program has done a lot, you know, since 2010, and they've had six 10-win seasons. You know, man, for us, it's just about staying in the grind. We understand, man, that we've played, good competition, but, I mean, it doesn't stop. I mean, once you get into the schedule, I mean, you're into the schedule. But I think, I mean, we're getting healthy. You know, man, guys are starting to be put in the right position. Man, we just need to make sure. I mean, our schemes and everything we do is about us.
I think of you. I get so emotional, baby. Love can do. Yeah, love can make you emotional.
I'll tell you what, breaking down the All-22 gets me emotional.
That's good. I'm glad it
gets
does.
You more than that, Nick.
You have no idea what you did for me in those 30 minutes.
Hey, I'm glad.
You feeling relaxed now?
Give me a cigarette.
The endorphins.
Need to go see Cool Strings MD?
No, I think I'm good.
No, okay. No, he just needs a D-Mace dissection and he's good to go.
Yeah, I just hope you call me in the morning. That's all.
Yeah, it's like we all just went to Cool Springs MD. We all feel great now.
Hey, you might as well.
A little bounce in our step,
a
little spring.
You know, Bruce Pearl. A little spring, big spring.
Keep your little spring to yourself over there, all right, buddy?
Yeah, don't get sprung in here.
Just forgive me if I go astray.
All right, that is our Derek Mason.
This morning, good for was it me?
Let's see if
what were the words you just said?
I don't know.
It is morning drive. We ain't going anywhere.
It's not till 10.
Not till 10 o'clock. Then we're getting the hell out of here and going home and do our thing. And that is the Morning Drive Daily Rewind. It's part of the Big Finish every day.
There is no show in America that talks Predators hockey, Charlotte 49er football, mask toys, and the gender breakdown of the Smurfs.
And sings.
All in one show. There is no show in America that has done that.
And sings.
And sings.
Morning Drive. It's so bad, it's good.
Yeah.
It's like one of those movies. Like, you know, it's a terrible movie, but you just watch it all the time.
You're comparing our show to Joe Dirt or something like
that? Hey, now.
Hey,
you
man.
Do not talk about Joe Dirt that way.
Joe Dirt's a good movie.
It's pronounced Dirt.
Awesome.
To you.
Sweet.
It is a spectacular movie.
Yeah.
I did read a story that Street Fighter is now supposedly a good movie, and I can't get my head around that one.
No, it's
Street
not.
Fighter.
Yeah, I think it's a terrible movie.
It was one of my favorite arcade games of all time.
There was this long article about how, like, Street Fighter's so bad, it's good now, and I was like, what?
The worst movie that was an arcade game turned into a movie, Dragon Ball Z. Like, Dragon Ball Z, that was the worst ever.
I thought Street Fighter was pretty bad.
Hey, guys, we got 9 more days.
Tomb Raider,
9 more days. I think it's 9 days, isn't it? 9 more days till the Predators open up.
It's next Thursday.
Yeah.
You got 8 days.
8 days. Eight days.
Nice math there, champ.
Yeah. 8 more days.
Yeah, 8 would be a nice number for Michigan State to get win total this year in football. But we'll see if that happens.
What about Temple?
Oh.
Wow. What about Temple?
Temple beats every team in the Big Ten. Yeah.
Next question. All right, we're out. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. Double dip coming up next on ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Bailey, DJ Nashville, you know I love you.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.